I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The theme chosen for today is hospitality and humility. And I was thinking about it, and I think that's the wrong way round. I think it should be humility and hospitality. But I'll come back to that. Now, do you remember when you were the centre of attention? You were probably about that big, you know, a little baby. And everyone looks at you. You've only got to make the slightest noise, and you'll be picked up or you'll be fed. You're your parents' little darling. And how long was it before you realised that actually you weren't the centre of the world? There are other people that you have to relate to. Indeed, children soon learn that they are part of community, of family, friends, school, sport, hobbies, whatever it is. People to relate to. And being part of a community implies certain obligations, one of which is respect for one another, another helping those in need, obeying the laws of the community. And even in a small family, there are rules. So what is humility? Behaving in a manner that demonstrates humility. Or as the dictionary might put it, freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. Humility is being humble. And the gospel reading today depicts a wedding feast, and it tells how guests should assume a lower or more humble position. And then the guest won't be embarrassed, but possibly honoured. So as you think about that, have you ever been aware of your own sense of importance? Did you feel good? Was your chest puffed out? Did you stride up and down in feeling important? Was that you? Or perhaps you were overcome by the responsibility placed upon you. First book of Peter, chapter 5 says, "Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example." Being humble can be a real challenge. Circumstances can put you in a position where it's all too easy to take on a lordly attitude. A promotion at work or in the armed forces, a position of leadership in the church or other organisation. Or to quote Malvolio from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, which I notice on the notice sheet is actually being performed at Cuddington at the end of the week, which is an interesting coincidence, but there we are. And it says, "Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them." Some are born great. Thinking of kings and presidents and prime ministers, there are many who clearly revel in their position. But thankfully, there are some who recognise their responsibility. We've just joined in the prayer for our Queen, and she is much respected and honoured, not so much because of her position, but how she responds to being in that position. I think it's probably fair to say that she's a shining example of servant leadership. Someone who's elevated to the highest of high positions, but remains at heart a humble person. And when we look around, we might wish there were more like her. Humble being humble. Being humble doesn't mean being a doormat. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Now, I love Charles Wesley's hymns, but that one I really struggle with. I think he just got it wrong. Because Jesus might have been gentle, but he certainly wasn't meek or mild. We only have to think of his act of clearing the temple. He was quite forceful on occasions. So hospitality. What is hospitality? What do you think? Is it feeding people well? Having an open house? A friendly attitude? It's probably all of those things and everything that you've thought of as well. Again, looking at a dictionary, it says, the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. When you came into church this morning, I hope you were welcomed by Angela with a friendly smile and a welcome. But this passage from Luke, I find really challenging. I want to go with verse 13, which says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Most of us don't give banquets, so we can sit back and relax and just ignore this little word of Jesus. Put it to one side. But we can't. We can't because we're taking it out of context, which is a very dangerous thing to do with the Bible. And it's done far too often, radically altering the meaning of what was written or said. We can't because the preceding verse 12 says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and so you'll be repaid. It's only when we take note of the instruction not to invite friends and relatives, but the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, that we'll be blessed. Now looking at those words for luncheon, dinner, banquet, there's three different words, and the Greek interpretation is of dinner, supper, and a banquet or a party. But the reality is they're just different words for a meal together. And we can't separate the two verses through defining those words in a different way. The whole passage has to be taken together. But it's one thing to read this and accept it, and it's quite another to put it into practice. Now, sometimes, for some of us, it may be a practical reality on occasion, but most often it's not. So how can we respond to this requirement to be hospitable, to love our neighbours as ourselves? The best way, I believe, is to actively support those charitable organisations whose mission is to reach out to the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. Some of those organisations will be Christian and some will not. Some will relate to the people in this country and community and some will relate to those in need across the world. Three in particular come to mind which are supported by our churches. And these are Christian Aid, Tear Fund, and our local food banks. Where we can personally help by inviting in those in need, we should. But where we cannot easily do so, we should consider and support other means of helping those in need. So, humility and hospitality. Why did I think it ought to be humility before hospitality? As when I was preparing the sermon, it struck me that Some of the words of our service today were very relevant to that question. And I'm sure that you've already mentally leapt to those words in your mind. Those words are, our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Two commandments. The first tells us to put God before anything else, to remember who we are and to acknowledge him before all others. And by doing so, take on a humble attitude. And the second commandment tells us to love our neighbours as ourselves. That is to say, to be hospitable in our relationship with everyone. And that second commandment naturally flows from the first and forms between the two of them a simple model for our lives. Shall we pray then? Father, help each one of us to always put you first and to remember the example of your Son Jesus and to put others before ourselves. May we always be kind and generous, thinking of the needs of others. May hospitality and humility be reflected in our daily lives, and may we be blessed through the service and love of others. Amen.